Welcome to City Valley Church. Our vision is to be a family, loving Jesus, growing together and reaching Yorkshire and the nations. We hope you are encouraged and hear Jesus speak to you as you listen to this recording.
City Valley Church, Shipley. So, this is quite a unique morning. I don't know, I'm looking at Gaynor. I don't know if I've ever worn shorts to a Sunday morning before. So, like, I'm fairly, you know, stuck in my ways. That, yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, so I'm obviously feeling very chilled and relaxed, and it's warm enough not to wear jeans. But obviously it is on the warm side. Now, I have here, well, this is a handout, which particularly is for the Emerge youth and the youth, but it can also double up as a fan. So I've got 20 of them. So Evelyn, can I give these to you? So obviously start with Emerge and the youth, but then for the rest, like it's one between two or three. Actually, can I grab one of them as well before I lose them all? Well, it's great to be with you, and we're going to get to the passage. I'll do an intro and then we'll do the passage. So it's just, as you probably read in the family news, Gaynor and I are really appreciating being in a place where we can come alongside the different site leaders at Bradford here or over at Airedale. And so the focus of our time is very much in coaching, leadership coaching, being behind the scenes, encouraging the leaders and the site leaders as they really faithfully sense God's leading for the different sites. So it's very much an encouraging, kind of hidden, behind the scenes kind of role, which we really feel Jesus called us to, rather than be up the front leading ourselves. Really encourage others to do that. And we're also in a bit of a go slow year as well, just restocking after all the years of ministry. And in a couple of weeks' time, I'll be back again, and I'll be talking about rest, because I'm really looking at what rest is again, particularly in the light of having a sabbatical. So being like away from the front line from October till January. So again, I'm looking forward to that. So I've been really looking into, well, what is a sabbatical? And actually it's to do with the whole thing of Sabbath. What is Sabbath? What is rest? And Jesus promises to give us rest. So I thought it would be, you know, we worked it out with Becky to do that talk just before you kind of go into the summer. So that's 2 weeks' time. Right, Acts chapter 10, verses 23 and to 48. So, yeah, it's going to be on the screen. I thought we could, maybe I'll start off with Victor. I thought we could just read this together. So what I'll do is I'll pass the microphone over to Victor. And if you maybe read, it's going to be on the screen. So if you read the first two or three verses, and then just pass it on to the next person of your choosing to carry on reading. All right, so we're just going to pass the mic around, read the passage like that. If you don't want to read, just pass the mic on. How does that sound? Is that, because I'm conscious, it's like, oh, all these people, I've got the mic, I don't want to read. But it's absolutely fine just to pass the mic on. Someone will go, oh, I'm all right for reading two or three verses. So is that good? Are we all in the zone? We know what's happening? So great. So Acts chapter 10, verses 23 to 48. That's what I said, isn't it? Acts chapter 10, verses 23 to 48.
So he called them in and provided a place to stay. On the next day, Peter arose and went out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. On the next day, they entered into Caesarea Cornelius was waiting for them, having called together his relatives and his near friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man."
As he talked with him, he went in and found many gathered together. He said to them, "You yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man who is a Jew to join himself or come to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I shouldn't call any man unholy or unclean. Therefore, I also came out with a complaint, without complaint, when I was sent for. I asked, therefore, why did you send for me?"
Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your gifts to the needy are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and summon Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying in the house of a tanner named Simon by the seaside. When he comes, he will speak to you. Therefore, I sent to you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now, therefore, we are all here present in the sight of God, to hear all things that have been commanded that have been commanded you by God."
Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I perceive that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation he who fears Him and works righteousness is acceptable to Him."
The word which he sent to the children of Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
We are witnesses of everything he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they also killed, hanging him on a tree. God raised him up the third day and gave him to be revealed, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen before by God, to us, who ate and drank and with him after he rose from the dead.
He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that this is who is appointed by God as the judge of the living and the dead. And the prophets testify about him, that through his name everyone who believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. They of the circumcision who believed were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was also poured out on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in other languages and magnifying God. And then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid these people from being baptized with water? they have received the Holy Spirit just like us. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay some days.
Well, that's great. So, everyone that read, thank you so much. So, we're in a series on the Spirit-filled church, and this is a book written by Terry Virgo, and this talk is from chapter 5, which is on healings, miracles, signs and wonders. And so to do this, we're going to unpack this passage, particularly the key verse, which is verse 38. Is it right to have verse 38 up? So this is the key verse, but we're going to look at that a little bit later. Before we do that, I'll just do a bit of a recap on the passage that we've just heard. So Acts 10 starts off with Cornelius. He has a vision from an angel, and the angel says very specifically, send for Peter, who's currently staying in Joppa. It's very precise, place by the seaside. I know we're maybe visualizing the seaside at the moment. So then Cornelius sends for Peter, and Peter arrives 3 days later. In the meantime, Cornelius, who's a Roman centurion, he's gathered his friends and his family together, and they're all waiting to hear Peter. It's just quite an amazing passage. So on his arrival, Peter finds this large group of people, and then he starts to preach. And some of the things he says is this key verse here. He talks about Jesus, how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all that are under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So we're going to come back to this key verse. But this is a wonderful moment where Peter then he's speaking, he's sharing, and the Holy Spirit is poured out on them. So I just want to pause there, because it's like Peter's talking about Jesus going around anointed by the Father for power, for healing others, doing good. And as Peter's talking about Jesus being anointed by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit turns up in a special way. Like, obviously, you know, the Holy Spirit, we know he's always with us, but actually there's something that happens at that moment where it's obvious the Holy Spirit is there. I mean, we know it's obvious because we can read later on, like, one of the outcomes of that is the whole group, the whole gathering, start worshipping and speaking in tongues, you know, like a similar thing to Pentecost. So, just want to pause here. Like, I'm a bit off script already, but I just want to pause here. It's like, wow. This is a gathering of Gentiles, so non-Jews, so people who are not particularly religious, or, you know, they can't recite memory verses, they don't really know much about the Bible, and they've just heard about Jesus, who is anointed by the Father to do good, to bring God's healing to others. And they not just hear about it, but they experience that anointing at that moment. They're not qualified. They know something's about to happen because they've been waiting for 3 days. But actually they're not a particularly likely bunch. And in that moment that happens. Let's just Let's just put a sweaty hand on the person next to you, if you can reach them. And let's just pray. Let's just pray for each other to receive the Father's anointing. Jesus, we thank you that you pour out your Holy Spirit as a free gift. Whether we've had amazing times with you this week or we've not thought about you at all, amazing that you come to fill us, to anoint us. Come now, Jesus, like you did at Pentecost, like you did in Cornelius's house. Come and bring your anointing on us now. Fill us now. Lord, fill us now for the call on our lives. The call to be worshippers of you. To be filled with worship. To know the anointing of Jesus. To go around and to do good. To bring the blessing of Jesus to those around us. We want this for Shipley. We want this for those that we meet. Come now, Jesus, with your presence. Yeah, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He loves you. He singled you out. Amen. Amen. That's great. So just don't know if you've ever been in a meeting like that. If you've been in a meeting when, like, obviously we know God is with us, but where God just, like, turns up. And I'll tell you about, some of you have heard this before, because I did this talk here or something like this a year ago, as part of, like, it was on my mind when I was doing a talk at Airedale on the same series, so I thought, oh, I'll just do this here, and now it's actually we're doing the same series here, and I've got the same talk, so you've heard this before, but Becky, Matt and Al, like, go for it, do it again. So when I was 14 or 15, anyone about the age of 14 or 15, plus or minus 3 years? All right, so there's quite a few that are, you know, between 10 to 18. So when I was young, in our school, we had this arrangement where if you wanted to pray, you could, basically the buses dropped you off about 20 minutes before school started, and you weren't, rain or shine, you weren't allowed in the school building. So, but if you said, oh, I'm going to the Christian Union to pray, they let you in. So actually there was every morning, there was about 7 or 8 of us praying. And this happened for about 4 or 5 years until, like, they're just in the Christian Union lunchtime meeting. So we met at lunchtime as well, like once a week or twice a week. But there was just these, like, there was almost something of an increasing anticipation that God was going to do something. It's so difficult to describe, but there was something like, actually something, there's a boldness that came on us. We started sharing our faith with our friends, we started doing some outreach meetings, inviting our friends. And then there was this one particular meeting when there was about 50 or 60 of us in a lecture theatre. I was leading the Christian Union at the time and speaking. And it was one of those meetings where, like, God just turned up. I sensed to do a response to Jesus. About half the kind of the guys there. It was a boys' school, and they, like, they came forward to the front, got prayed for, and it was like carnage. It was like just people crying, people on the floor, some people getting healed physically. Just there was joy. There was like, it was like, oh, okay. Out of just not able to comprehend that this was happening in a school in Christian Union. They hadn't churched. They were just responding to Jesus. And then I remember the lunchtime bell going, signalling the end of lunchtime, looking around, and I had this sort of out-of-body experience, thinking, I'm responsible here, and like the bodies on the floor, they're like, how on earth am I going to get these guys back to their classes? So anyway, like, I can remember we were doing it in shifts, trying to sort of take these lads back to find out what room they're supposed to be in, and like shove them into their classroom. I'm not sure what state they were in, but just they were full of the Holy Spirit, like drunk on the Holy Spirit. And so, and then I turn up. I was in double economics, and I completely miss the first lesson, and I arrive halfway through the second lesson, and I just, as I went in, I made my excuses, the Christian Union meeting overran, and he just seemed to fine, oh, that's okay, and just carried on. So whenever I read that passage, I think about that meeting, and I think, well, you've had similar experiences, some of you. And it's like, well, God turned up at Pentecost. You know, there was a gathering of the disciples waiting on for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, he came. A mighty wind with tongues of fire. They were praising God. In that passage we've just read, the Holy Spirit turns up. They end up praising God. Signs happening. And obviously in my experience those few years ago, the same thing happened. There's an anointing that the Holy Spirit brings on his people to do what Jesus did. And that's the key verse. The key verse that we can see up there. This isn't just what Jesus did. You know, and I unpacked this a year ago, that like Jesus said, didn't he? He said, it's better that I go so that I will send the Helper, the promised Holy Spirit. And obviously the disciples at the time, having spent 3 years with Jesus, seeing him, you know, feed the 5,000, you know, kind of see blind eyes healed, you know, see these amazing miracles, hear this teaching, and they would think this is absolutely crackers. How can it be that it's better that Jesus goes? How can that be better? Actually, the when Jesus says that in John 16, the one version says, it's to your advantage that I go. You know, how can it be to our advantage? But of course, you know, when we've unpacked this before, of course it's like, well, the Holy Spirit comes to anoint us, to fill us with the Spirit of Christ, so that we are mini-Christs, so that we do what Jesus does. And the two our advantage, it's like to the advantage not just of ourselves, but to all those that we will mix and mingle and meet and impact, because like it's not just, obviously there's a multiplication that happens, do you understand? It's not just Jesus, actually we're filled with his Spirit, and so there's lots of little Christs, Christians. So that's why it's better. Because, wow, all these millions of Christians filled with his Holy Spirit. So So the key verse. Jesus of Nazareth, anointed by God. It's amazing, isn't it, that he's anointed and now we're anointed. That's what happened at Pentecost. That's what happened in that meeting with the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on his church, on us. The word for anointed, if you read the word from the Greek, it literally is like rubbing olive oil on someone's head, specifically to represent that someone is divinely authorized to serve as a priest, a prophet, or king. You know, there's that authorization from heaven that you are anointed to serve in this way. You've been anointed to serve Christ as his follower, a little Christ. And then there's the, obviously, Jesus of Nazareth, filled with the Holy Spirit and power, went around doing good. And I love that. I love the went around bit. Because actually, if you look in Acts, I don't know whether I can find any of the healings in the book of Acts that actually happened in a church meeting. Obviously, they're kind of in a church meeting, but most, you know, think of Peter and at the temple gates, the paralytic. You know, a lot of the healings, or all of the healings, happen outside of a meeting, while the disciples went around. and physical healing very often is a wonderful sign for those that don't know Jesus, to help them see that actually there's a bigger healing to have, which is the healing of our souls. And that's the real healing that we want. And it's like opens the door. So physical healing opens the door for the gospel of spiritual healing. Because obviously physical healing, well, you know, one out of one people die. You know, that's like, it's really helpful to have physical healing, of course. But the reality is we will all die. So, you know, the main healing we want people to receive is to become right with God, right with their Heavenly Father, to know that. So this going around, we're filled with the Holy Spirit to go around. And I know on Shipley there's a message here, isn't there? There's a prophetic word of the ship in Shipley is not in the dock anymore, but is setting sail, is going. And this is great to see how, like, Becky and how she's really running with Al and Matt and the emerging leadership team. You know, like, this is yours. This is what you're running with. You know, the ship in Shipley is out of the dock and is setting sail. This is a new season for Shipley. And it's so encouraging just to hear, like, the feedback on that. And so the final thing, the healing all. So I've already mentioned it. Actually, the real healing is the healing of our souls. And of course, physical healing is great when it happens. And actually, definitely, let's be like John Wimber, who he had a, like, back in the 80s and 90s, fathered the Vineyard movement, and he had some health conditions himself and that he wasn't healed of, but he was known to really pray for people to be healed, and some of them would be healed. And his real, I suppose, approach was, this is a quote from him, "If I pray for no people, none are healed. If I pray for many people, some are healed." So let's pray for many people, and some will be physically healed as a opening of the door to them finding a richer relationship with Jesus. Okay. I think I'm going to finish here. I'm going to hand over to Gaynor in a moment. And I want us to really respond. What is it? You know, what is it that Jesus wants to give you right now? You know, if you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be anointed, he knows exactly what you need. He loves you. I know there's many different, there's a whole range of ways that we can respond to the Holy Spirit. But I think it's really the point is to receive what Jesus wants to give you. So just going to invite Lucy up. So just close our eyes.
Of recognizing Jesus' delight to come and reside in us and to anoint us. And as soon as many of us in the room, if not all of us, have declared with our mouths Jesus is Lord, you were born again of his Holy Spirit. He came to reside in you. You were a new creation at that point. So you received your first anointing at that very moment. You said, I believe Jesus Christ. Has come to reside in each of us right now, but right then too. And he lives in you since then and now. It's never changed. Delights in residing in you, that you have welcomed him in to your life. He is at work in you daily. But it's right now we're going to ask the Holy Spirit again. This is an act of will on our parts to surrender and say, come again and anoint my head. Anoint my very being. Come and work in me, Holy Spirit. That's an act of will and desire for him to continue his healing work in our lives. This is where we're going to start. Just going, come and anoint me afresh this morning. It's an act of will for each of us to go, do what you need to do, Holy Spirit, to give me more freedom, more life, more unshackling of the chains of this world. I give you access. Come and anoint me for change, for empowerment. So, Holy Spirit, as we make each of us a choice, just to go have your way, Holy Spirit. To say, I give you permission, Holy Spirit, as you reside in me, to enter areas of my life where you want to bring increased freedom and healing. So come, Holy Spirit, right now. Anoint your children, your family, your daughters, your sons. And start to open doors, touch us where you want to be working. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Your doubt. Just let him in again and anoint that area with his power, his nature, his character towards you. Let him in. Maybe it's an area that's like a vice, a sin that you just like grips you. He comes alongside, he walks with you and brings freedom and journeys the journey of release and freedom. And he comes to anoint that and empower that place of surrender to him. As an act of will, let him in right now. He is here.
I just want you to picture him, you know, you're
your Heavenly Father anointing you now. Okay? So he loves you. He sees you. He knows you by name. And he's coming to anoint you now. Some of you, you really want physical healing. And that's great to have that desire. Just, and for some of you, you'll have opportunities to pray for others for healing. So pray right now you would come and anoint us for healing and for your spirit to pray for others. Pray to anoint us now. Pray you'd anoint our mouths to speak of you, to know a freedom in worship. Anoint our mouths to worship you. Freedom and liberty. I pray for that strength, anointing of strength, to persevere. Thank you that you come to strengthen us, to keep persevering. Just have the sense of, just keep in this place, but just have the sense of God's, like a box being suddenly opened and lots of wonderful gifts coming out, and just the surprise, just the suddenly moment. So just pray for this, for Shipley. I pray for the suddenly moment of gifts, of blessing, of change, of freedom.
Just very conscious as we quieten ourselves and listen to the Holy Spirit and respond. Just keep going with where the Spirit is leading you. It may be new to you, some of this, just that quietening of yourself to let the Spirit in, to receive his anointing, to receive his voice. That's okay. Just keep quieting yourself. Just center your thoughts, your mind on Christ, and let him in. Just respond to the way your thoughts go. We're surrendering our thoughts at this point to him, and he will bring things up and just move with it. Now, I'm very conscious when this happens that for others, and I just sensed it myself, he anoints us with gifts of the Holy Spirit, many gifts, the gift of healing, obviously the gift of encouragement and prophecy and the words of knowledge. If you start to sense them for others, that's an anointing in itself, you know, to move in confidence towards somebody else, and at that point bring Jesus' presence into that situation and his empowerment. And so if you sense in that too, it's an act of faith, isn't it, to move with Jesus into that place. It's not about us, it's about him. And that's the wonder of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I just encourage that too, just to move with what the Spirit is saying.
So keep receiving. If you know God is ministering to you personally, or move around and pray God's anointing on someone else. I know that the Becky met earlier talked about praying for the emerge and youth. But let's, you know, so you can do that now. But let's move around, pray for each other. If you sense a heart or burden for someone else, just spend some moments praying for them. Jesus, we thank you that you love to pour out your Spirit on your church. Just, whether you're individually receiving or praying for others, just, receive the joy of heaven that is so thrilled that you're here and so thrilled that you're looking to him. So we're just going to carry on for a few more minutes. Jesus, we thank you that you've promised to pour out your Holy Spirit on all flesh, that you love to give to your children the gift of your Holy Spirit, the promise of being filled with your Holy Spirit. We just thank you that you, thank you, Jesus, that you did go to be with the Father so that you could send your Spirit to be with us. So I do thank you that you are with us now. You promise never to abandon your children, never to orphan your children. You sent your Holy Spirit to be with us. Lord, we just recognize that at the moment on this nation, we're very much in that place of waiting. We're not seeing many demonstrations of your power, but it feels like as a nation we're in a place of waiting on you for your promised Holy Spirit to move in power. But we actively wait. We say we're waiting. We're here waiting as the people of God. We say, come and move in power on our lives, on Shipley, on Bradford and the Aire and Wharf Valley. Come and move, we pray. We're looking to you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been blessed by this talk today. If you would like to know more about our church, where we meet, or would like to speak with someone from City Valley, please visit our website at cityvalley.org.